Yeah, we had counted the number of years between two kings. Which were those two kings? Ahab and Jehu. And we had counted that from the last year of Ahab to the first year of Jehu, how many years were there? 12 years. This we had counted based on the information given in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. Okay. Now I had shown you this monument. The person writing this is? Shalmaneser III. Okay, he is an emperor of Assyria. Yeah, that's okay. Thanks. Yeah, and he is writing and he is boasting about a war that he had fought. Who were his opponents in the war? Many kings. He has mentioned two of them. Ben-Hadad and Ahab. Okay, Ben-Hadad is the king of Damascus. That is, the country is called Syria. Okay, and he also mentions that one of the people who fought against me was Ahab the Israelite. Okay, which is interesting because Ahab is mentioned in the Bible. Then, last time I also explained to you the concept of Assyrian eponyms. What were these Assyrian eponyms? Loudly. Years named after kings or officials. Okay. And these years they mention, the eponyms mention the prominent events that took place, including eclipses. And that's what our astronomers have latched onto. So they are able to calculate when in the past the eclipses would have taken place. And so they are able to correlate it with AD and BC. So from the eponyms, we know that this stele or this event took place in 853 BC. Okay. And it is recorded in this stele. Stele means a tablet. Then we have this big prism. It's called the black obelisk. This is one of the panels of the obelisk. And the engraving is there. You can see somebody is bowing down before somebody else and these people are offering something. And the inscription below says, it's me, Shalmaneser III. I'm the emperor of Assyria and I collected tribute from Jehu. Okay. And that's also interesting because Jehu is mentioned in the Bible. Okay. So here this Assyrian king is saying that this Israelite king was submissive to me and he gave me tribute. And again from the eponyms, we come to know that this was 841 BC. Okay. So, what did we notice then, looking at these dates? There are exactly 12 years between these two. Okay. So, evidently what must have happened is that that war that Ahab fought must have been fought during his last year. And this tribute that Jehu must have given, he must have given in his first year. Are you understanding this? Okay. So this is what we had calculated last time, but now we have these two more events from archaeology. So Ahab fights with Shalmaneser and Jehu gives tribute to Shalmaneser. So we have, that must be in 853, this is in 841, and the time interval between them is only 12 years. Okay. So we conclude that King Ahab died in 853, and King Jehu ascended the throne in 841. Okay. So this is a matching between, a meeting point between the Bible and secular history. And this enables us to date the events in the Bible. I had mentioned a term called relative dating. What is meant by relative dating? Dating. Yeah. The dating system used in the Bible. Yeah, but what does it mean? No AD or BC, it's just dated based on other events. Like this king started ruling when that king was ruling. And so on and so forth. Like each is dated by the other. Not with the help of a universal event. If you date with a universal event, that's called, I'd use another word, absolute dating. Okay, that is dating with a universal event. Like the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, that is something that everyone knows. It happened 2000 years ago. So we have AD and BC based on the coming of Christ. So that is absolute dating. So because of these matching this meeting point between secular and biblical history, we are able to convert the relative dating of the Bible into absolute dating. Okay. So, these meeting points are also called a synchronization. Okay. So, write down this word. A synchronization. S-Y-N-C-H-R-O-N-I-Z-A-T-I-O-N. A synchronization. A synchronization is a meeting point between biblical and secular history. A synchronization is a meeting point between biblical and secular history that helps us to convert the relative dating of the Bible to absolute dating. That helps us to convert the relative dating of the Bible to absolute dating. Okay, so first example of synchronization is Ahab's death and Jehu's ascension. Okay, so mention these examples. First example of synchronization is Ahab's death. And you can mention the archaeological artifact that is... Ahab's death is... Do I have that... Is that pointer here? Do we have the pointer? No? Okay. Ahab's death, the artifact is the Kirkuk's Tell. Ahab's death is mentioned in the Kirkuk's Tell. And Jehu's ascension. Jehu's taking the throne. The black obelisk. So this is an example of a synchronization. Okay. Ahab's death given by the Kirkuk's Tell. And Jehu's ascension given by the black obelisk. Yeah, does anyone know who was the king after Jehu? I'm also not sure. I think it was Jehoahaz. Then there was, I think, Jeroboam and Jehoash. And then there is a long list of people. Okay, this is the point. Okay. There was a long list of kings after Jehu. Maybe around 10 or 12 kings after Jehu. And how did it all end? After Jehu, there was this one and that one and that one and that one. How did it all end? Sorry? It ended in the captivity. The captivity to where? No, not Babylon. Remember, there are two kingdoms of Israel. What are the two kingdoms? Northern kingdom and southern kingdom. How many tribes? 10 tribes and 2 tribes. Or another word is Israel and Judah. Right? So it is Judah who went to Babylon. Okay, the northern tribes, where did they go to? Okay, so if it's not familiar, then we'll read that part first. So after Jehu, there were many more kings, and finally these guys went to captivity. I think it is in 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. Yeah, let us read verse 1 to 6. Someone read loudly. 2 Kings chapter 17. Verses 1 through 6.
In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea son of Elah became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned for 9 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not like the kings of Israel who preceded him. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up to attack Hoshea, who had been Shalmaneser's master, and had paid him tribute. he had sent envoys to show a king of Egypt, and he no longer paid tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done Yahweh. Therefore Shalmaneser seized him and put him in prison. The king of Assyria invaded the entire land, marched against Samaria, and laid siege to it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria. He settled them in Hala, in Gozan, on the Habor River, in the towns of Meres.
Yeah. So who is this unfortunate fellow, the last king of Israel? Hosea. Okay. He is the last king of Israel. And who attacked him? Shalmaneser. That we read in verse 3. Okay. So that's not the same Shalmaneser that was there earlier. It's another Shalmaneser. Okay. Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria. But he comes from the same place, Assyria. He attacked him in verse 3. Okay. Now, in verse 3, Shalmaneser and Hosea got into a deal. What was the deal? What does it say there? Verse 3 or 4? Hosea has to become his servant and pay tribute. Give presents to him. Give tribute to him. So Shalmaneser said, I will not destroy you, but you people have to be under me, and every year you have to give me a good sum of money. Tribute. Are you understanding this? Okay. And Hosea, he acted a little smart. What did he do? He sent messengers to So, the king of Egypt. The Assyrians and the Egyptians did not get along well. Egypt was a powerful country, and so was Assyria, and these two were on either side of the land of Israel. Okay. So when Israel is under the domination of the Assyrians, what does Hosea do? He tries to make friends with the Egyptians to try and get some help from them so that he can, avoid paying this tax money, tribute money to whom? To Shalmaneser. Are you understanding what he did? Okay. So he took this gamble, but what happened? The gamble backfired. Okay. So Shalmaneser found out that this guy was trying to get close to the Egyptians. So Shalmaneser then said, okay, now I'm not going to show you any mercy. So Shalmaneser came in which year of Hosea's reign? No, I think he came in the 6th year, no? Verse 5, he came and besieged it. How many years? 3 years. And in verse 6, in the 9th year, the siege was broken. Yeah, that means he came in the 6th year. Shalmaneser attacked Samaria and set up a siege in the 6th year. And for 3 years, the siege was going on. You know what a siege of a city? Samaria is a fortified city on a mountain, walls around it. And all these Israelites are inside. And outside, who is there? The Assyrians, and they are surrounding the place. For 3 years, the people of Israel managed to survive inside. They had stored a lot of food and water and all those things inside. For 3 years, they managed to survive. But after 3 years, the Assyrians broke through the walls of the city. Are you understanding? So that will be Hosea's 9th year. Okay? And then, what does it say? They destroyed the city? Yeah, verse 6. In the 9th year, the king of Assyria, what did he do? Verse 6. He took Samaria. So he conquered Samaria and then carried Israel away into Assyria. Are you understanding this? Okay. Who is doing this? The king of Assyria, who is probably Shalmaneser. So Shalmaneser is mentioned earlier in the starting of the chapter. But after that name Shalmaneser is not coming. But again and again it says the king of Assyria. So it's either King Shalmaneser or it's the next king after Shalmaneser. Okay. So these people of Israel were carried away where? To Assyria. Okay. Then also read verse 24. Okay. Are you understanding what this guy did? He took the people of Israel to Assyria, and what else did he do? He took the people from other places, like those places mentioned there, and he brought them to Samaria. Is your Are you understanding? Huh? Is everyone understanding what is going on? Okay, fine. Now, here is another inscription. So, there is a set of tablets which were found in Babylon called the Babylonian Chronicles. The Babylonian Chronicles. Now, look at what is written in the Babylonian Chronicles. On the 25th day of the month Tebeth, Shalmaneser the 5th. Who was the earlier Shalmaneser? The 3rd. Okay, so this is another person. Shalmaneser the 5th, what did he do? He ascended the throne in Assyria and Babylon and he ravaged Samaria. This is what the Babylonian historians are claiming. Ravage means attacked. He attacked and he destroyed Samaria. Okay. Then there is another person called Sargon. Sargon the king of Assyria. And he says, at the beginning of my royal rule, I besieged the town of the Samaritans. I conquered it and I led away so many people as prisoners. Okay. Then he says, I rebuilt the town and I settled people from other countries which I had conquered. Do you see a matching here? Do you see a matching here? Yes or no? Huh? This king from Assyria, Shalmaneser the 5th, is saying that I have attacked Samaria. Now in the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 17, it says that Shalmaneser came and besieged Samaria. Okay. Then, as we observed, only once it mentions the name Shalmaneser, and after that it keeps saying the king of Assyria. Okay. Now there is another person who is taking credit. Another person is taking credit, and that is a person called Sargon. So he claims that at the beginning of his rule, he besieged Samaria and conquered it and took the people as captives. Okay. So apparently what must have happened is that Shalmaneser came and attacked Samaria, and while the siege was going on, probably Shalmaneser died and Sargon must have taken over. So when the Bible says king of Assyria in those other verses, it's probably referring to Sargon. Okay. This is a picture of Sargon. Okay, and our biblical reference that we have already read. And this event is dated from the Assyrian eponyms as 722 BC. So which means 2 Kings chapter 17 happened in 722 BC. So this is another synchronization. Okay, what was the first synchronization? Ahab and Jehu. Ahab's death, Jehu's ascension. And here is another synchronization. The fall of Samaria. The fall of Samaria is mentioned in 2 Kings 17. And from the Assyrian records, we know that this took place in 722 BC. Okay, is this concept clear to everyone? That this event is mentioned in the Bible, it's also mentioned in secular history. Okay, when Samaria fell, who was the king in Jerusalem? No, Jehoshaphat is old actually. Anyone knows who was the king in Jerusalem when Samaria fell? Ahaz was the king when Hoshea came to power. Yeah, probably Ahaz also was still living. But the active person ruling there was Hezekiah. Was Hezekiah a good king or a bad king? Hezekiah was a good king. Okay. So Hezekiah was ruling when Samaria fell. What is the name of Hezekiah's son? Hezekiah's son is Manasseh. Manasseh. Then after Manasseh there was, I think, Amon. And after Amon there was Josiah. After Josiah, there was Jehoiakim. There was Jehoiakim. Okay. Now, in the meanwhile, a new problem developed. Okay. The Assyrians were a powerful empire, but the Assyrian empire, after having its peak, it fell down. Who was the new power that replaced the Assyrians? Lovely. The Babylonians. Okay. The Babylonians were the new power. So the Assyrian power declined. The Babylonians sacked the city of Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, and the Babylonians set up their huge empire. Okay. And which is that famous king of Babylon that we read about? Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. How many times did Nebuchadnezzar attack Jerusalem or Israel or Judah? Anyone knows? He attacked Judah 3 times. Okay. The first time he attacked Judah, he didn't really attack. I mean, he just came close and he scared them all. And he told them, just like Shalmaneser had done earlier, he told them that you have to give me tribute. You have to give me tribute. Okay. And he took some people. Among them were Daniel and his 3 friends. Okay. So, Nebuchadnezzar came in his first attack. He just showed his power. He just warned the people of Judah. He told the king there that you will have to be under me. And I would like to take all the good people, all the capable people that you have, I'm going to take for me. So he took many people, including Daniel and his 3 friends. Okay. Then Jehoiakim also tried to act smart. Act smart in what way? Just like Hoshea. Sending messengers to Egypt. Trying to avoid submitting to the Babylonians by getting Egyptian help. Okay. So that's what this guy, Jehoiakim, tried to do. After that, so when Nebuchadnezzar saw that, Nebuchadnezzar came once again. Again he warned him. Okay. And at that time Jehoiakim died. Who came after Jehoiakim? Jehoiachin. I'm not sure what the correct pronunciation is. Yeah. Jehoiakim, and then after his Jehoiachin, he came. Okay. To the throne. But he was there only for 3 months. And then he surrendered himself to the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, and then went away. When Jehoiachin surrendered, Nebuchadnezzar replaced him with another king. What's his name? Mattaniah or Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. So Nebuchadnezzar, in his second attack, he replaced Jehoiachin with Zedekiah or Mattaniah. And he was the last king of Judah. And he was there for 11 years. But even he tried to act smart in the same way. He also sent messengers to Egypt. So the third time Nebuchadnezzar came, he said, this time, no mercy for you people. He came and he destroyed Jerusalem. Okay? Now, this is another of the Babylonian Chronicles. And it's called the Jerusalem Chronicle because it mentions Jerusalem. So this is what this says. So it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he mustered his troops. He marched towards the land of the Hittites. Hittites were neighbors of Israel. And then he encamped against the city of Judah. So this must be referring to, which is the city of Judah? It must be referring to Jerusalem. Okay. He captured the king and he appointed there a king of his own choice. Okay. Now, no one's name has been given here. He captured the king. Who is the king he captured? Jehoiachin. And he appointed a new king. And that is Zedekiah. Zedekiah. Okay. I just mentioned the story without giving the reference. So you can note down the reference. So these things are written in 2 Kings chapter 24. Okay. These verses. So he came. He captured Jehoiachin. And he appointed a new king. That is Zedekiah. Okay. This is his second attack. The second time he came. The first time he came, he did not capture any king. He just warned Jehoiakim. And he took Daniel and his 3 friends with him. The second time he came, he captured King Jehoiachin. And he replaced him with King Zedekiah. And he also took some citizens to Babylon. Hello? Yeah. He took some citizens to Babylon. Among these citizens, there was No, 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 no. Daniel has the first attack. Don't get confused. Okay? Lovely. Ezekiel. Okay? So Daniel and his three friends went to Babylon in Nebuchadnezzar's first attack. This is Nebuchadnezzar's second attack. In his second attack, he took Ezekiel and many other people. Okay? So again, from the Assyrian eponyms, we know the date. This thing happened in 597 BC. Okay? So Nebuchadnezzar's second attack, or we can say Zedekiah's coming to the throne, was in 597 BC. 597 BC is the year in which Ezekiel went to Babylon. Okay? So this is another synchronization. Okay? So note this also as an example of synchronization. Nebuchadnezzar's second attack happened in 597 BC. So 2 Kings 24 verses 11 and 12 happened in 597 BC. So with this information, we can try and figure out the dates of various events in the Bible. Okay? So as I was saying earlier, you know, God has chosen to teach us through history. Okay? And history involves dates. Okay? So we as believers, we need to be confident and we need to be sure of this, that the things that are written in the Bible, they are not just stories. They are not made up stories. They are real things which happened to real people who lived in real places and real times, and they have got dates. Okay? So if you read something in the Mahabharata or Ramayana, no one knows when it happened. It's a matter of a wild guess. Okay? If you read the Quran, you have no historical record in the Quran. Never does it say that this happened and then after so many years this happened and after so many years this happened. You don't find anything like that over there. But in the case of the Bible, we have so many events mentioned and the years are given, the relative dating is there, the synchronization is there, from that we get absolute dating. So anything that is written in the Bible, we can make a good estimate as to when it happened. How many years BC did it happen? Okay, but it's not very simple. Now, do you know what is rounding off? What is the meaning of rounding off? Or truncating is another word. Lovely. Yeah, to get an absolute figure, like as an example. Yeah, if it's a decimal, you come to the closest integer, right? Like if it's 5.76, then we can truncate it as 5 or we can round it off as 6. Are you understanding this? So when it says that David ruled for 40 years, now what exactly does it mean? Does it mean that he came to the throne on March 31st and he died also 40 years later on March 31st? Probably not, right? He must have died on a different date of the year. So when it says that he ruled for 40 years, you know, it could be that he ruled for 39 years and some months. Maybe he ruled for 40 years and some months. So there is a little bit of confusion, little bit of ambiguity is there. Are you understanding this? Okay, so if a king rules for 5 years and 6 months, should be counted as 6 years or should be counted as 5 years? Both can be done. Okay, so research has been done into whether these authors of Kings and Chronicles, did they truncate or did they round it off? Okay, so research has been done. So apparently the practice in Judah and Israel was different. To make a long story short, most of the time, the historians in Israel were using rounding off. That is, if someone ruled for 5 years and so many months, they would count it as 6 years. Whereas in Judah, for most of the time, they were using truncation. That is, if someone ruled for 5 years and 6 months, it would be counted as 5 years. Okay. So, slight confusion is there because of that. Then, do you know what is co-regency? Co-regency? Yeah, actually, although we did not use a word, we came across an example of co-regency. What did we learn about Ahab and Ahaziah? We came across Ahaziah. How many years did Ahaziah rule for, do you remember? Only 2 years. And those 2 years were actually the last 2 years of Ahab's life. So Ahaziah, who is Ahab's son, he was ruling along with Ahab. Okay, so sometimes the son, the prince, the son would rule along with his father. Okay, so if the son starts ruling along with his father, and after some years the father dies, so from where do you count the start of the son's rule then? Do you count it after his father has died, or do you count it from the time he was accompanying his father? Now, it could be either way. So, there is some confusion about that also. Are you understanding this? So, if you want to figure out the dates of all the kings or all the events in the Bible, there are some difficulties that you have to face. One is rounding off, the other is co-regency. But mention what co-regency means. That sometimes the prince, that is the son, would accompany ruling his father, the king. The son or the prince would accompany ruling his father, the king. That is called co-regency. Okay, let's see another example of a synchronization. Jehoiakim, as we saw, he ended his reign in 597. And Jehoiachin was there only for 3 months. Okay. Now, how many years did Jehoiakim reign? Okay. Let's go to 2 Kings 23:36. How many years did Jehoiakim reign? In 2 Kings 23:36, can you get the figure? He reigned for 11 years. Yeah. He reigned for 11 years. Okay. So, he ended his reign in 597 BC. And that means he must have started 11 years before. Okay. I have counted it here as 12 years. Because these Judah people used to do truncation. So when they are reporting it as 11 years, it must have been 11 years in some months. I'm counting it as 12 years here. Okay. So that means he must have begun in 597 plus 12. That is 609. He must have begun. Then read Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 46 verse 2. Jeremiah. Verse chapter 46 and verse, read verse 1 and 2. Jeremiah 46, 1 and 2. Yeah. So Jeremiah is reporting that there was this huge battle between two very powerful kings. Which were the two powerful kingdoms fighting here? Pharaoh Necho, so Egypt and Babylon. Okay, remember the kings of Judah and Israel, when they faced tribute from Babylon, whom would they run to for help? They would run to Egypt for help. Okay, so Egypt was that other powerful kingdom on the other side. Okay, and when two powerful people are there, they don't like each other. Sooner or later, there has to be a confrontation. Okay, and here is that confrontation. The Battle of Carchemish. When was the Battle of Carchemish fought? What is it saying here? When was it fought? Jeremiah 46, 2. When was the Battle of Carchemish fought? Fourth year of Jehoiakim. Okay, so I'll count it as 4 full years, because the Judah historians, they would count the first year as like 0th year. So 4th year means, normally when we say 4th year, it might be 3 years and some months, but I'll count it as 4 full years because of the way these Jewish historians report it. So 609 minus 4, 605. This battle must have taken place in 605 BC. Are you understanding this? Now that's exactly what the Babylonian Chronicles also say. So based on the biblical information, we calculate the date of this battle, and the same date is also mentioned by the Babylonian Chronicles. So here we have another synchronization, another match between the Bible and secular history. Are you understanding this?